This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, are you ready for a road trip with your canine pal? Or maybe you want a dining date with your dog at a pet-friendly restaurant? Well, you're in luck. That's because our special guest today is a real top dog expert. But we got to take this break, so you all know the drill. Let's just sit and stay, and we'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray. Or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Go to kittypooclub.com, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Please welcome to our show, I'm talking the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Lori Teller. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lori.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
Well, strap yourselves in, guys. We're really honored to have you on the show. I mean, this gal heads up the AVMA. Now, I understand there's how many members approximately you have?
Over 101,000 veterinarians.
Woo! And I understand this AVMA has been around since 1863. We're talking Abe Lincoln days, and I think that's 160 days. I really don't know, Dr. Lori, what that would be in dog years.
You'd be a dinosaur for sure.
A doggy dinosaur. Okay.
Exactly.
We could yap with you all day about so many things, but we're going to be focusing on three areas. And I think the folks tuning in are really going to appreciate your insights. And that's about taking a dog to a hotel. That's about, hey, my dog wants to dine with me at an outdoor eatery. And also a topic near and dear to you, emerging field of veterinary medicine, and that is telehealth medicine. What do you think? This sounds like a Jeopardy lineup of categories. What do you think? Can you handle it?
I love Jeopardy. So let's do it.
I do too. I have a long night shirt that's got Alex Trebek on it. And it says, and the answer is?
That's adorable.
Right, I just told everybody what I wore to go to
that's
sleep
okay.
at night.
Oh, that's okay.
That's all right. All right. So before we plunge in, it's a big deal to be the president of the AVMA. How long have you been a veterinarian? And tell people a little bit about why did you want to become a veterinarian?
I have been a veterinarian since 1990, so a very long time. I am also one of those classic little girls who wanted to be a veterinarian since I was about five. And so when I was 12, I started hanging out with our family veterinarian. And when I was 16, I got an official after-school job working there. And I went back to that practice after I graduated from vet school and worked there until a few years ago when I joined the faculty at Texas A&M.
Wow. Well, Texas A&M, I knew of the legendary Dr. Bonnie Beaver. She kind of, it was, you want to talk about her? She's a great mentor for many.
She was one of my teachers when I went through vet school. And now she's a colleague and a tremendous friend. Still one of my mentors. I just had some exchanges with her yesterday and she keeps rocking along. She's amazing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. All right. COVID is hopefully in our rearview mirror. You know, people are out and about. We have terms being used again, like doggy vacay, or, hey, you know what? There's this great restaurant with a great patio that's welcoming for dogs. There is a trend, I think, back in gear for us to be able to take well-mannered dogs to places like hotels and to eat. So let's go to hotels, because I travel a lot with my dog, pet safety dog, Kona, and yes, my cat, an orange tabby, pet safety cat, Casey, and we're always on the hunt for pet welcoming hotels. And I make a big point that when I come in, Kona's on a harness, Kona sits on cue. They're both therapy pets. They've been trained. I want to up the game for the next guest that's coming with a dog into the hotel lobby. So help us know how we should, what kind of things should our dog know and be able to do before we say, you're going to go to a hotel vacation.
Well, I think you hit on the key word, which was well-mannered. So very important that when you travel with your pets, that they are well-behaved, that they have been through some level of training. You do want them to respond to simple commands, sit, stay, come, all of those kinds of things.
Bring me a latte. Well,
Yeah. Hold my beer, whatever it takes. So you do want, that's really important that they have some level of basic obedience, that they walk on a leash without trying to either pull you down or jump on the person standing with you in line to check in. So that's key. And then you also brought up welcoming hotel. So
yeah.
Traveling with your pet, you need to plan ahead and know that the places that you're going to stay, whether it's a hotel or a family or friend's home, that your pet will be also welcome to stay there.
Well, I have to tell you, we recently took a road trip from Dallas to Omaha, Nebraska, because we were invited to teach, ready for this, 80 people in pet first aid. And we have a veterinary approved program, Pet First Aid for You. I did not teach 80 people in one day. It was over several days. And I was looking for a Airbnb. And I really had to showcase Kona and Casey's resume, if you will, to the owner. And the good news is she wrote that I left the place better than she left it for us. And this was the first time she ever had a cat guest and like the second dog guest. And we created a nice atmosphere. And of course, I gave her my book, The Dog Behavior Answer Book, because she has a dog. But I'm just saying we do need to put in a little more effort, right, to be able to win over a hotel or even an Airbnb or VRBO or AIAIO, whatever they're called now. Have you ever taken, I think you said you had Tucker and Gracie, your cool dogs?
Yes, I do.
Have and they gone to a vacay on a hotel anywhere?
They have. We traveled with them from Houston to Colorado. So, of course, we had to stop in a hotel en route. And then we were staying at a hotel in Colorado. And my dogs have been through obedience training. I can trust them to sit, to stay, to come when called, all of those things. So, of course, they were big hits with the people, the hotel staff. All the guests wanted to come and pet them and miss their dogs at home. So wanted to get their doggy cuddles in as well. And it really makes a big difference.
What kind of dogs are they?
They are Labrador Retrievers.
Okay. So, you know, Dr. Marty Becker, he says labs chew till they're two and shed till they're dead. Is that correct?
Yes. So very important when you're traveling with your pet to have your own doggy luggage. Bring your dog's favorite bed. Make sure you bring your dog's food. You don't want to switch foods and end up with a dog with vomiting and diarrhea while you're on the road. Bring your dog, of course, leash and collar. And definitely bring favorite toys, new toys, long-lasting treats. So when you are on your vacation and maybe you want to step out and go out pet-free, I don't know who would want to do that, but if you do, that your pet will be content in the hotel room and not start barking or scratching at the doors or destroying the hotel room.
Yeah. We'll leave that to rock stars.
Yes.
Well, you know, I laugh. I don't know about you, but I seem to have to pack more when I'm bringing my dog Kona and my cat Casey than I do when I'm just, you know, my own stuff proportionately, because Kona has a bed. Kona has a blanket for the other bed. You know, she's going to be on the bed with me. So we have a thing we put on top. They have all their thing. But the one thing I always do, and maybe you're a veterinarian, you can address it. I don't want to take any chances, so I always bring plenty of bottled water. Can you address the medical uh-oh if a dog on a trip is drinking some water that's a different source?
I think that it's always good, especially if you're driving, to definitely have bottled water, particularly while you're en route. Drinking water where you're going probably is going to depend on the safety of the water where you are. So if it's safe for you to drink, then it's probably going to be safe for your pet to drink. But okay. if there's any question about the water quality, then ideally you would bring along some bottled water as well.
Well, let's get yucky. What happens if they drink water that's not good for them? Come on, let's get into it.
It can definitely make them sick. So not only the water that may be provided where you're staying, but of course, dogs and some cats like to explore and they'll start drinking from puddles, rivers, streams, the beach, and all of those can definitely make our pets sick. There are some areas where Giardia, which is a parasite, is endemic in rivers and streams and lakes. And if your dog or cat drinks from that, they are very likely to end up with a nasty bug that causes really foul gas and can also cause incredible diarrhea. And it's hard to get rid of if your pet gets this.
When you call it incredible diarrhea, I'm sitting up and taking notice. That means it's a big D.
It is nasty. Let's just say that it's really nasty. And it is, the risk is low, but it is potentially contagious to humans too. So no reason to even want to go down that road. Of course, salt water from the ocean, if dogs drink too much of that, that can cause extreme illness leading to seizures and death. So even if your dog loves to play in the ocean, my dogs do not let them drink it. Give them fresh water to drink.
And the salt, man, on their coats, and what's it do to the kidneys? That's not good.
No, none of it's good. So definitely after your pets have been swimming, wherever it is, lake, ocean, river, definitely need to rinse them off because we know how they get themselves clean. They turn around and groom. And even if they didn't swallow it while they were swimming in it, they're going to swallow it when they are licking themselves.
Now, sometimes we take a trip with our dogs to a hotel and we've got a tour that is no four legs allowed. So I know you said your dogs are well-mannered and some places allow the pets to be in the room. Have you ever, or what's your thoughts about hiring a pet sitter or working with the concierge to have somebody doggy sit?
Yes. And I think there are some pets that are not comfortable traveling, and knowing your pet and your pet's personality is really important. If they don't adapt well to strange people and new situations, they are not going to be good travel companions. So having a pet sitter or having a boarding kennel.
Or even hire someone there, right?
Yes, absolutely. But knowing that there's somebody that you can trust to stay with your dog is perfect. And this is also going to be true if your pets need regular medication. You want to make sure that you have somebody that you trust that can administer that medication. And for some pets, it's very important to maintain a routine with their traveling or if you have a pet sitter. Particularly when it comes to administering medications. So that's important to take into account as well.
So Tucker and Gracie, two of the luckiest dogs I know now. What kind of fun did they have in Colorado? Did you do anything dog specific?
About everything we did was dog specific.
All right.
Yes. So they love to hike. They are big walkers and of course they're labs. So they're go, go, go. So we did a lot of hiking in Colorado. Of course, Colorado is a very dog-friendly state, so they were welcome into shops and we could go into the favorite pet store and they could pick out a new toy there. And there's, of course, a lot of outdoor dining available there. And so they could go to dinner with us and sit out on the patio and take in the sights and sounds as well.
I think I want to come back as your dog.
I want to come back as my dog.
We're speaking with Dr. Lori Teller. She is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. She hinted about what our next topic will be, which is dining with dogs. We're going to plunge into that after we take this break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Amy Schumer. You're listening to Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio, where they keep it real and make everyone feel like their pet.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O'Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O'Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I'm with the Prez. Yeah, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Lori Teller. You can feel her compassion for dogs and cats and other critters. And I have to say it, bon appetit. Let's talk about it. I lived in Oceanside, California for a number of years and actually had two dogs, Chipper and Cleo, and we were part of the original SoCal surf dogs. It's very embarrassing, Dr. Lori, when your two dogs surf better than you, but they did. But we would rinse them out and everything. And there were all these patios in Oceanside Harbor where well-mannered dogs were welcome. But I remember when I would go, they're on harnesses and I have their little water bowls and all that. I would always try to pick a corner or something away from the, right at the entrance. And so I guess in the military, I got my six covered. Can you talk about scoping out, if you have a well-mannered dog, where you should sit?
I completely agree with you. When we take our dogs with us to eat, we want to be in a corner or a place where there's less traffic going through the restaurant. So that is perfect advice for dog owners. And of course, you want to know that the restaurant accepts dogs, right? So call ahead. Yeah. Make sure that your pet is going to be welcome at the restaurant.
Party for Tucker. Tucker, your table's ready.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Well, you should put the reservation under Tucker.
I should. That's a great idea. I think I'm going to do that next time.
Yeah, have him wear a bow tie. Okay.
Of course. Of course. He's very much the gentleman.
Okay.
So scoping out a quiet place, of course, back to your dog should be well-mannered, leash trained, willing to sit or lie down at your feet while you are eating. You definitely don't need a table surfer at the restaurant.
And we want to make sure we enunciate that. Dr. Lori said table surfer. She didn't say table server. Can you define? Because I think people need to know.
Yes. If your dog is prone to snatching food off of the table, this is not a good dog to take to a restaurant for dining, whether that's off of your own plate, your companion's plate, or the tables next to you plate. You definitely need a dog that can sit. And you can even take a treat with you when you take your dog. So if you have a long-lasting chew toy, bone, something like that, that is your dog's favorite and you know it will last a while, perfect time to give that is when your food comes to you. And then your dog is distracted and happy and will sit there calmly. Again, make sure your dog is leash trained. The last thing you need to do is for your dog to trip a waiter or to trip one of the other guests in the restaurant too.
Now, speaking of leashes, I'm a big fan of making sure they're not those zip retractables. And I keep them on a short lead, like 4 or 6 feet, but it's tethered to the bottom of my chair. And I'm no Twiggy, so they're not going to move. What do you do when you have two of them? How do you do the leash and still be able to use your hands to eat your own food?
So I agree with you completely on those flexi extendable leashes. They are the bane of my existence. Yes.
I wish they were banned. So many things happen. I mean, a jogger crosses in front of you and a dog doesn't see the wire and slashes their calf muscle. Oh, I know somebody that popped a tooth out because that clunky thing hit them in the mouth.
Yes. Yes.
And you're not walking your dog. I'm going to say this. You'd probably never be back on my show again. But I'm like, your dog thinks you're their bitch now because they're so far out. You're just picking up their poop. There's no walking with your dog.
No, I completely agree. And I know of a dog that got loose. The owner lost the grip on that And so the dog is running and that leash is bouncing behind it. And the dog is petrified because it thinks something was chasing it. And it took for that owner to catch that dog. So yeah, I very much agree. When you're walking your dog, use a shorter leash. And definitely when you're in a restaurant, a 4 to 6 foot lead is the most appropriate. And you can wrap it around the chair leg. If it's a really super dog friendly restaurant, they may even have a hook on the table or chair that you can
like women for the bars with our purses. Yes. Now dogs have hooks at tables. Yes. Look at that. That's progress.
Yeah. So there's something there. Of course, if you're sitting along an edge where there's wrought iron and you can wrap the leash around that, anything like that would be appropriate. The last thing you want to do is like have to be holding the leash with your hand in one hand and trying to cut up your food to eat whatever it is that you've ordered. So
you can't have a Merlot and a mutt.
No.
It won't work.
No, you have one or the other, right? So, yeah.
It also sounds like you're really trying to be considerate. I always leave a good tip. I mean, more than normal. I don't know what you don't have to confess, but I want to come back.
I do too. I want my dog to be well behaved and welcomed. And we'll certainly leave a big tip. You know, really dog friendly restaurants will bring a bowl of water out for your dog. And even the best mannered dogs have most likely left some dog hair or drool behind. And so somebody's cleaning that up as well.
I've had some dates like that before I got married. Yeah, I understand. I gotcha.
Yeah.
But also, I time it. What about you? When should you, when you're first doing this, when's a good time of day to take a nice mannered dog, but still a dog, to a patio?
If this is your first or second time out with your pet, go at an off time.
Okay.
So either a really late lunch or an early dinner. Things will be quieter. The restaurant won't be full. You can see how your dog reacts to the environment. And also you can see how the wait staff in the restaurant reacts to having a dog there. Some restaurants that say they are dog friendly may not be quite as dog friendly as others. So it's a great way for you to judge your dog's behavior and also how welcoming the restaurant is to your dog being present.
Now, I know you're not the Dear Ann Landers of the dog etiquette world, but what do you do in a situation where you have a well-mannered dog and these people pop in with a dog on a zip lead and the dog comes flying over to your table? Any tips?
Well, first I would nicely ask the dog owner to remove their dog from my dog's face. But if that doesn't work, then I will talk to our waiter or to the restaurant manager. And I don't need a bad dog ruining it for those of us who have well-mannered dogs. And so I'd rather that be dealt with early on.
Yes, little canine etiquette. Hey, I'm so delighted we have Dr. Lori Teller. She's the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association on our show. That's pretty rocking. One thing that I really want to talk about, because a lot of things in the landscape of veterinary medicine have evolved because of COVID. COVID brought a lot of people getting a lot of pets. And even though you have 101,000 veterinarians in the AVMA, there's millions of pets. And I think the ratio, there's a gap. I have great veterinarians, Casa Linda Animal Hospital, Dr. Deb, Charles, shout out. I'm telling you, people need to know about telehealth medicine in the field of veterinary medicine. And I understand that's something that you're very, very supportive of and involved in. Can you talk a little bit about that, how the scene is shifting with people?
Yeah, absolutely. I am very passionate about the appropriate use of telehealth in the veterinary space. So I think it's really important that everyone establish a relationship with a veterinarian, especially while your pet is healthy. So, of course, all pets should have an annual exam, get their appropriate vaccinations and what have you. But telehealth can be really helpful in several ways. One, if you have an emergency teletriage, so triaging what is going on with your pet is huge. Certainly, if you think your animal got into something toxic, you want to know if there's something you need to do at home before you seek further veterinary care. Right now, it is so hot. We're seeing so many cases of heat stroke. So I want to be called or have a teletriage visit so I can give the pet owner some advice on what to do before they rush their pet in for further assessment and care. So teletriage, amazing.
I like that term. we teach people that in our pet first aid classes that we're that life-saving bridge between the uh-oh and the veterinary clinic. And we very much work with veterinarians. And so when I'm teaching people about heat stroke, you know, like what color is a bad color on the gums, Dr. Lori?
Anything that's not pink.
Yeah. And second, I say, you know, you should something cool to their paws because they sweat that way. And now here I'm going to make a fool of myself again. To make sure people never forget the dangers of giving a hot dog ice, I say ice, ice, not nice, baby.
Yes. Excellent. Yes. But I will tell them to get a cool, not cold, towel, wet it down and wrap them in that. And then they need to seek immediate veterinary attention if they think their dog is having heat stroke. And I'd rather them err on the side of caution and not delay that. So that's a real problem. And the other thing regarding teletriage, of course, we've all had that moment when we pop up from a sound sleep because one of our pets is throwing up. And we know that sound, that awful retching sound that wakes us up. So if
you don't want to make it on a radio. Don't, I'm gonna embarrass you. We got it. We won't make you do that.
I'm going to pass on that. But we all know what it is. So if you are concerned when your pet is vomiting at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can have a teletriage visit and determine if this is something that you really do need to get dressed and go to see your local ER, or if this is something that can wait till the next day and you can contact your regular veterinarian. So sometimes it's just a way of removing some of that anxiety.
Another Benny of telehealth is sometimes the lobbies are very crowded. There's hard to get a booking for a non-emergency, maybe a follow checkup on a suture look or something like that. Can you give us some of the benefits of how to use the time of a veterinarian most efficiently?
Yeah, that is one of the biggest ways that we can use telemedicine is for follow-up visits. So definitely post-op incision checks. You know, maybe you had your cat spayed 3 days ago and the incision looks a little bit red and you're concerned about it. And you really, the last thing you want to do is put your cat in the carrier and go back. But you can have a telemedicine follow-up with your veterinarian, take some pictures of the incision or show it on the video, and your veterinarian can say that's normal healing, or, you know, that doesn't look right. Maybe your cat's been licking at it. These are some things we need to do. But we can also use follow-up for skin infections. If your veterinarian wants to have a recheck 2 weeks after you've been in with your dog for a skin infection and you want to determine how your pet is responding, things like that. So there's so many ways that we can use it. Behavior constantly.
I love it. I mean, just think, bring you back to 1990 at Texas A&M. To now president of the American Veterinary Medical Association 2023, you've come a long way, baby.
Definitely a long way.
I mean, think of what has happened in veterinary medicine just in your time.
Huge. So many advances. And I love it because that means I'm always learning something new. And I love that. I'm a curious person, so I always love something new.
Well, so when you're not being a veterinarian and you're not running the AVMA, surprise our listeners. What's something you like to do for fun? What's and make sure it's legal.
Yes.
What do you like to do? What would surprise people? What or hidden talent?
Hidden talent. I don't know about that. We love to travel. My husband and I love to explore new places, both domestically and internationally. So we do a lot of that. I am a gym rat, so I'm in the gym almost every day.
So I'm not going to arm wrestle you. Okay, that's good. Okay.
There you go. We can have a push-up contest.
Oh, you first.
Okay. So I do a lot of that. Love to read. And we have a son and all of our family is nearby. So we spend time with family and some good friends as well.
Well, any parting message you want to tell our listeners? We've got zillions tuning in all over the world because you're on the longest running pet podcast on the planet.
I love that. And I love that there are so many people that love their pets. So do right by your pets, get regular veterinary exams, make sure they're vaccinated appropriately. Oh, and that goes back to the travel. So Lyme disease isn't a big problem for us in Texas, right? But if you are traveling to New England, you may want to talk to your veterinarian before you go about the Lyme vaccine. But wherever you're going, especially if it's not nearby, find out if there's different preventions or vaccines that your pets should be on as well. Otherwise, stay healthy, give your pet lots of cuddles, lots of exercise, and definitely keep working on the training and having a well-mannered pet.
I love it. Hey, everybody. We have so enjoyed having Dr. Lori Teller of the American Veterinary Medical Association on our show. We got some great tips on how to travel, stay at hotels, dine with them, and kind of a little more insight into the world of veterinary telehealth medicine. At this time, also, I want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the surgeon of sound. What do you think, Lori? The surgeon of sound. Woo! And he is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest radio network on the planet. There's that word again. And humbly, I hope you check me out at ardenmore.com. And I have a YouTube channel. Come on, Dr. Lori, easy. Go to Arden Moore and get the YouTube. I got some cool YouTubes.
Because
you know I'm a very
out.
Boring host, as you've just had experience.
I can tell.
So, pet pals, until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.